There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
All right, you guys are good.
We're good? We're ready?
Yeah, you're ready.
Oh, side stories. I'm Henry Zabrowski, and I'm getting too big for my clothes. How you doing? I'm joined. Of course, I'm not Henry Zabrowski. He's out and about. He can't make it in today, but I am joined here with the wonderful, my confident, my efficient, my hero, top five smartest friends, host of the Foreign Report, fraudsters, Sina Ghaznavi. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, that's so great. I'm so happy you have five friends.
Yes. Yeah. You're my lawyer, my psychiatrist, my IT guy.
Yeah.
What do you think of this computer? How dirty is it?
Is it? It's pretty good. Let's see. Oh, my God. Look at that screen, Eddie.
I know you would make
Eddie,
you upset.
Eddie, the white on the Google Doc, you can't even see. It's changed. I was looking at the keyboard and then I saw the screen.
No. The keyboard's bad, but the screen's bad. I don't know how to clean it.
I am shook.
Yeah, I knew you would be. I knew you would be.
Cleaner, dude.
But now, I feel like if I clean it, I wouldn't be able to, read
what?
It. What? Now I've learned how
you
to...
You can't read it now. You're, reading through, the woods.
Yeah, well, it helps me, because, I can filter out all the awful news. It puts a blur.
Does the dirt cover the word genocide when you're scrolling through an article?
So, I want to talk about some fucked up shit with you today.
Wait, can I just say, I was talking to Rob before the show, and I was like, he's like, I'm surprised you came back, or something like that, and I was like, last time I remember being here, and I was thinking about it last night, I was like, Eddie showed me a woman getting electrocuted.
Yes.
And then today we're going to talk about arguably worse stuff.
Yes, yeah, and you know what's funny about that? I don't remember that.
I think it was Henry, maybe.
It was just Henry.
Oh, good. I'm glad I missed it.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking that one for me. But before we get started, the Foreign Report is one of the best shows. It's where I get my news.
Oh, good.
And you're great. Travis is fine.
Yeah.
And
he's great.
I'm just kidding. I love everybody. But you are the father, the surrogate father of a serial killer. Rumi.
Oh, yeah.
Rumi, Sina's dog has killed 9 squirrels?
10 squirrels.
10 squirrels.
3 birds.
3 birds?
And he has attacked multiple opossums, but they've played dead.
He's never beaten a possum yet.
No.
No,
but, because he's a dog. They play dead, and he's like, I did it. Look at me. I'm the man.
So what kind of dog is Rumi?
He is a Jack Russell mix with a lot of different terriers and 20% Chihuahua.
Ooh.
That's
where the ferociousness
comes.
Yeah,
Betty.
So you gave him a test.
We got the test done. Yeah, for sure.
23andMe.
Well, Marcus did. Whatever Marcus did, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When Marcus does something, I'm like, that's a good one. I know it's verified because I know he did his research. So I'm going to do it.
Yeah, no, I did want Tootsie to come back as Grim Reaper. Yeah, so up to
10
squirrels. How bloody is the squirrel deaths? You sent me a video of one of them from your Ring camera.
Yeah, one was bloody, but normally it's like, you know how a dog plays with those toys, the stuffed toys?
Oh, because immediately, as soon as they pick it up and shake it.
They shake it.
Then you think,
oh, it's so cute. Oh, it's so cute. He's like, he's just practicing. That's a war game.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
He is warming up to go out there, and he just waits, and we have a palm tree in our backyard, and there's a fence, and what he does is he just waits. He barks, mm-hmm. but he's also waiting for the squirrel to make a mistake, because it goes on the fence and jumps to the tree, and if they miss, or they go from the palm tree to the fence, and they miss, oh, buddy, he is there.
That's crazy.
And he really... So much of this work that we do is showing up, and I'm inspired by him because he shows up every day without fail. If it's raining, he's out there.
Does he like it, or is he upset after he does it?
You know, the jury's still out on that. he does get a little daddy, what did I do? But then daddy is like, you're my baby boy! I'm so proud of you.
It's weird. Like, it would make me so sad if Harley killed a squirrel, but also I'd just be so proud of her.
Oh, that's what he's supposed. He's bred. I mean, they bred this dog.
They're supposed to be mongoose, right?
Small varmints. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Dude, take his ass to Hawaii, filled with mongoose.
Is that right?
Yeah, because they brought in the mongoose to kill the rats. But the rats were nocturnal and the mongoose were up during the day. And so they wouldn't kill each other. And so the mongoose just got out of control. Then they brought in the cats to kill the mongoose. Now there's cats everywhere.
You can't mess with nature. You
can't fuck with nature.
You shouldn't do it.
It's all invasive species there in Hawaii. But I love Rumi and I love you. And before we get into the horrors of the Iran war, which I don't want to talk about, but we have to just because of the sheer death toll. The enhanced games.
Oh my God, so incredible.
All right, I don't even know how to deal with this. Like, I found out about it this morning. I immediately just threw the show away and I'm like, sent this to Cena. I was like, this is insane. So the enhanced games will take place in Las Vegas later this month. I think it's at the Cosmopolitan. I'm not 100% sure. But May 21st to May 24th, it's an Olympic-style event that allows for the use of performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
So they're basically, they have athletes that are going to show up and
juice
to the gills.
Yes.
And they're going to do swimming, track, weightlifting, strongman. I don't know what the difference between weightlifting and strongman is.
Don't they just throw a keg in the strongman?
I guess so. So they're starting off with these events. It's the first time ever. There's going to be a concert afterwards.
Are they going to be just like on...
The Killers are going to play. The Killers, the band The Killers.
Really?
They're going to play like the opening concert.
They're going to rip lines on stage.
Yeah,
so, we are enhanced.
And so basically what it is Peter Thiel, Donald Trump Jr., and the guy who helped Hulk Hogan sue Gawker, Aaron D'Souza.
Oh, the lawyer.
It's his baby.
Yeah.
He was just like, what if we just let them do the drugs and see what happens?
Yeah.
And he pitched this to Peter Thiel on a New Year's Eve, and Peter Thiel was like, let's do it.
Yeah.
And so now they're just full on going for it. It is insane that this is happening. It is certain fucking disaster.
I went from wanting tickets to wanting to run the other direction.
I know. I was just like, I really like the morbid curiosity in me is like, I really want to see this. But now that I know that it's just going to give Peter Thiel more money.
Is it the curiosity that they're going to like break a world record or that their heart's going to stop or explode? Or
I think like, it's like that because they're training like it's similar to F1. It's like, I think it's owned by some of the same people too. And so I think there is that, like we watch it to see someone die.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, you know, it's, yeah, the Killers are playing.
The Mountain from Game of Thrones is going
to
be.
Oh,
of course he is. Yeah, he has to do the weightlifting. He's probably the one celebrity that they got to do this thing. It's very dangerous. I don't understand how it's allowed, but so there was an issue when it came to funding for the games because there's so much money on the line. They're going to be paying these athletes exorbitant amount of money. I think there's $25 million like promises to athlete compensation.
Yeah.
Which is more than the Olympics.
I would do a couple rounds of roids for that. Are
exactly,
you kidding me?
Exactly.
I'd do many rounds.
And they like if they break a swimming record or a track record, they get $1 million bonus.
Oh my God.
These athletes, these Olympic athletes, clean Olympic athletes, they don't get paid anything.
No.
They get paid they get paid some money, but they get paid dog shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know about you. I did the raffle for the LA Olympics.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Did you?
We got it. You should be lucky you didn't get it. It cost me thousands of dollars.
I heard it's so expensive.
It was so expensive. It's like a whole nother rant.
You see in badminton?
No, I wanted to see badminton, but it was sold out. But I got baseball gold. That was the big one I got.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Wow, you did spend a lot of money.
Yeah, I did. So I'm gonna see beach volleyball.
Have this man do a live read right now. He's gotta pay for these Olympic tickets.
So basically, what's going on here is there's an issue with funding for the games, which is largely coming from Peter Thiel. We know him from Palantir. You know, he wants to replace the human race with AI robots.
Transfusing the blood of young people into his body.
Yeah. And Donald Trump Jr. also. A quote from Donald Trump Jr. about the games. He says, the enhanced games represent the future, real competition, real freedom, and real records being smashed. This is about excellence, innovation, and American dominance on the world stage, something the MAGA movement is all about. That's a quote from Donald Trump Jr.
It's not even breaking a record because you're not in the arena with everyone else to break a record.
Yeah. So, why not have a home run competition?
Oh, my God.
Now I'm producing this thing.
Yeah. That aluminum bats?
I want to see wrestling.
Yeah.
Like real wrestling.
What, with roids?
Yeah.
Roided wrestling?
Why not?
When is this?
If you're going to do it, go all out.
This is all Running Man. This is just a spinoff of whatever version of Running Man.
We are turning into that. Yeah. Also, there's obviously heavy right-wing influence up top. All of the competitors will be categorized based on their chromosomal sex. So, basically, to appeal to the worst fucking audience possible, they have to throw in the anti-trans stipulation that would not be applied to any of your competitors anyway.
Well, because I guess what happens if one of the female athletes takes a bunch of testosterone?
Yes. It's the weirdest thing. It's like we want you to do all these drugs, but if you're the wrong gender, it's not allowed.
They also are
so stupid.
They're a supplement company, Enhanced, which I didn't realize.
Oh,
that makes a lot of sense. They sell all these GLP-1 things and all that kind of shit on their website.
Yeah. So
okay. So it's a really on the nose type of an event.
Right now, you know where they are? All the athletes are training over in the UAE. They're currently getting bombed at their training facility. They're talking about this. It was in Vanity Fair. They're all literally training while bombs are hitting the building and shit.
That's why they got all these air defenses there.
Yeah. Because and then they're going to fly them all to Vegas soon while they're done. Their goal is to challenge the traditional sporting models acting as a Formula One for the human body.
This is so insane. First of all, it's a car. It's a car, not the human body. If the engine fails in the car, you replace the engine.
Yes.
If your body fails, you're dead.
Well, Chaney got a couple of hearts.
He did. I think he got a quintuple bypass, and then he got shot in the face, or he shot that guy
in the face.
Shot his friend in the face.
And they did everything they could to not make that murder. That poor guy lived on a ventilator for fucking months. Oh, man. So they're saying, they're only allowed to do drugs that are FDA approved, some HGH and stuff like this. But they also said that they're not going to drug test.
I was just going to ask, are they definitely not going to drug test these people?
Yeah,
so how are they going to know?
Exactly. Exactly, because I'm guessing they want to promote the goddamn enhanced company.
I guess so.
That is so they're going to basically, it's going to be crazy. It's all our buddy Pat Barker, who works with us, he reminded me of the great SNL sketch.
Yeah, Kevin Nealon and Dennis Miller
about the all drugs, and then Phil Hartman's the weightlifter, and then he goes to break the record, and then he's like, and he just rips his arms off, and it's the end of the sketch. It's so funny. It's a perfect sketch. But this is fucking crazy. And this is all the people who are putting this together are the same people who are scared of vaccines.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, that's how that goes. That's going to be, they're building their own little enhanced Olympics, their own little mecha Olympics, and people are going to be merging with the machine. That's what the next step is, by the way.
Yeah.
It's going to be Bionic Man type stuff, where it's just he has X-ray vision, or he has he can fly, he can jump, he's part in an exosuit, and he's going to be able to lift things. It's going to be insane.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
But it's entertaining. Everything is about attention now, and it's going to get attention.
I'm giving it attention currently.
Yeah.
And
good thing.
even though I hate it and it goes against everything in my being, I am morbidly curious.
This is how it happens.
Is it wrong to,
of course, they're never going to, these are people that will never be able to compete in the Olympics or in a proper sporting event.
But they're going to get paid.
But they're
why would they want to do the Olympics? If you're going to fucking make these people practically homeless and like you have to win a gold medal just to get sponsors, just so you can make some fucking money, why would you want to be an Olympian and not an enhanced athlete?
Oh, man. And then they're going to make it global.
Yeah.
They're going to make it global.
Already, they got athletes from all over the world. I'm looking over here. They got the athletes. They give them all their own page. There's guys from all over the world. There's Brazil. I'm looking at fucking Ireland. You know, it's everywhere. You know, these guys, look, they're from everywhere.
And you know, the next step is actually, it's going to be a human versus a robot. We're going to have that.
Why not?
It's going to be Elon's, like, whatever, his, like, robot thing versus one of these guys, and they're all going to make bets. It's going to, Kalshi's going to pop off on this. This is all prediction markets, sports betting.
Dude, it's like, also, they're going off on how it's, like, you know, American excellence.
Yeah.
There's, like, 10 Americans out of, like, 40 athletes.
By American excellence, they mean late-stage capitalism, end of the empire.
Thank you.
This is it. This is a real signal. Things are spiraling.
Yeah, man. So this is fucking where we're at. We're going full idiocracy.
Yeah.
This is how we're dealing with
all this.
So which
day are we going? Is this? We gotta make content for it.
I was like, if you see a guy in the audience with the bag on his head, that's me. It's just so you don't think it's me. But yeah, no, I'm definitely not gonna go just because I have to have my moral code. But goddamn,
that sounds like a man whose moral code is about to break.
I want to see the freaks.
That sounds like, you know, I mean, if they got Stone Cold Steve Austin in there, I would go.
Do you
if
think
he's
he
like,
did, HGH?
I think they didn't really test those guys. I mean, whatever they had to
they
do.
They don't give a fuck.
Stone Cold Steve Austin's knees are all jacked up, so I think they probably gave him a ton of cortisone shots and everything.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm sure there's people in the audience that know a lot more about all that stuff than I do. But, you know, obviously we all know Randy Savage and all those guys, the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, they were all roided up.
All right, so I wanted you to turn your fraudster's brain on for 2 seconds.
Let's do it, baby.
All right. So the whole thing is valued at $1.2 billion for an event that hasn't even happened yet, has no TV deal. The games are going to be watched on YouTube. It's only happening in a 2,500-seat venue, and it promises over $25 million in athlete compensation. How does this work?
So who said the valuation?
They went public. The firm named the Paradise Acquisition went public and projected the valuation at $1.2
billion. So they probably did like a reverse public thing. So there was probably an entity that existed and then they like bought this entity and then that was like how they went public, I guess.
Yeah.
That's my guess. But it's all speculation. So you could say this is what we presume to be making.
Yeah.
And then after it happens, it'll be very clear. But they could sell pay-per-view. They could sell streaming online.
But this is happening in a couple of weeks. We didn't even fucking know about it.
I know. I think that's the issue here. It depends. It doesn't matter.
The reason I stumbled on it is I was reading The Guardian this morning, and there was an opinion article written by one of the Guardian journalists who requested access to the press event, and they were like, nah, you can't come. You asked too many questions.
Okay, well, that's a flag. That's a real flag. When you don't let the press in and you kind of like do this like reverse public thing and you get out there, I think this is going to be, I mean, that valuation has got to come down. What is it? $1.2
billion? $1.2
billion. No.
No, right?
No.
2,500 seats?
I mean, if you think about...
That's the size of the places that last podcast plays.
Like a small sports team is in like the hundreds of millions of dollars,
yeah.
Right?
But do you think it's more of like a future, like 10 years down the road, they see this moving to stadiums?
That's what they're going to project and probably why they're doing it this way.
Yeah.
But I mean... It could be like XFL, but at the end of the day, this is more of a spectacle.
Yeah. So Susan Egglestaff, she, speaking of badminton, is a badminton player, said that it cannot and will not work. The danger is massive.
Yeah.
Do you know how many drugs you'd have to be on to take for badminton to become massively dangerous?
Yeah. It's going to be insane. I think these people are going to hurt themselves.
Oh,
and that is only going to make more people to watch.
No, they're supposed to hurt themselves.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
The fucking thing. I mean, that's, you know, basically why we watch football. We get excited when people get hurt when we on the other team.
Well, remember, it's also like this, the mimification of stocks and businesses, right? So you got Donald Trump Jr., you got Peter Thiel, mm-hmm. like retail investors will look at that and they'll say, oh, you know what? Let's do it. And then they'll buy into it. And then you could project something out, whatever, 10 years. You project whatever the hell you want. Remember, WeWork, they said we were going to, like, raise the consciousness of the world. It's like, bro, you're an office space company.
Yeah.
And you rent the office spaces. You don't even own the real estate. So it's like you could say whatever you want, and then things kind of settle out. But, I mean, XFL didn't work, and they took away the fair catch rule.
Yeah.
Right? And that, like, still wasn't enough of a spectacle.
The wedge busting and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, people didn't want to see people get spinal cord injuries.
We're done with it.
Yeah.
We've evolved as humans, but this is going way backwards.
Well, this is going into, like, the dystopian cyberpunk future.
It really is. And, of course, like, because it's got fucking Thiel behind it, which is, like, the biggest fucking demon that we got going on in this country.
That's what you got to also be afraid of, is that these guys don't lose a lot. They end up finding ways to squeeze more money.
This is their entertainment. Yeah. They want, if they lose money, it's like what they're paying for entertainment.
Oh, my God.
They enjoy it. And so it doesn't even matter. It's like when you and I, we lose money when we go see the Lakers or whatever. This is their Lakers. You know, this is what they're doing.
When the mountain has to wrestle a lion, you know, we've really...
If the mountain wrestles the lion that killed Siegfried Roy, that's what I want to see.
I want to see that.
That's what I want.
They have Olympic medalists in the enhanced games.
Of course they do.
Well, because they need the money. Those LIV Golf guys that took the LIV Golf money, those are all like guys that were in the last phases of their career. And they're like, I'm going to get paid and then I'm going to bounce. That's what they're doing.
It's crazy.
When you live in a capitalist society like this, when money... When cash rules everything around you, that is what—that's the moral erosion that you're going to get,
dude. The Olympic athletes—they make nothing if their training is like $100,000. So, like, forget, like, it's just they need. We need to be, this is all this shows me, is that we need to be paying our Olympic athletes a fucking livable wage. If you're going to be charging the money I paid for those fucking tickets, we need to be paying
them. Where is that money going?
Where, to the city of LA? I don't know.
I don't think it's going to the city.
You don't think so?
That is going to be funneled. There's a whole Olympic committee that's very problematic. I was reading about it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, the one guy, he was up on the Epstein list. Yeah, and I still bought into it. I'm an asshole.
But he doesn't get to ruin you going to the Olympics.
I want to enjoy some stuff.
Yeah.
I can't protest everything. I'm already not going to Starbucks anymore.
There's also no conscious capitalism. What are we doing here? There's conscious consumption. What are we doing? Everything. We'd be walking around naked without a phone. You know what I mean?
I do what I can.
Pick your things.
I went to the Nike store, the employee store recently when I was in Portland. Not one child working there.
No.
You believe that?
No, they got him in the basement.
I was like, this is good.
They got him in the basement.
Oh, they keep him where I can't see.
Yeah.
Someone's got to put the laces
dimly
on
lit,
the shoes.
Dimly lit, tiny hands. Working.
Well, all right. That's going to be an interesting thing. Now I want to move on to upsetting stuff.
Wasn't upsetting? That was actually fun.
That's actually kind of... In Side Stories world, that's actually very fun. That's a blast.
That's the rom-com of stories.
Yeah, that's actually great for us. You're lucky we're not doing any Family Annihilators.
What I call roomy.
Yeah. And there were several in the news this morning. I was like, by the time this comes out in 2 weeks, it'll be old news.
Oh, God.
Live from your grave.
But I wanted to talk about Foreign Report, amazing show on the Last Podcast Network, and your involvement in that is instrumental. You are an unbelievable human being. I'm so glad that you're doing
this. Thank you.
But it is hard because you're a first generation Persian American,
Iranian American.
And right now we're at war with Iran.
Mm.
After, well, no, we're not.
It's
we're,
a, co- it's a,
it's a, what is it officially?
It's a, you know, an excursion.
An excursion.
A bit of a disagreement.
Yeah.
A bad Q1 is what I've been calling it.
A no-cation.
Yeah.
And so, but this all stemmed from, in the beginning of the year, Iran killed many protesters, there was an uprising in their country that killed up to 30,000, maybe more. We don't really, probably will never know how many people they killed. And then this is in response to that. Correct?
Sure, kind of. Not yes and no.
So I think it's important that while we, a lot of people, especially liberals, and a lot of liberals obviously watch this show, please don't hate me. It is hard to root for America and Israel right now.
Stop sending me Lego videos, though.
The Lego videos are very cute. They're killing it. They're very good. I know that they're all AI. But I think people are forgetting how evil the government of Iran is.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I condone this war, but I don't think that anyone should be happy for them. Because what they did, the mass killings at the beginning of the year, the number of 30,000 is debatable. A lot of people say it's way more. I don't think there's any way we'll actually ever know the real number of what happened there.
Well, right now, at least when it comes to that, 7,000 are confirmed by this human rights agency that's reporting it. And people are like, that human rights agency is blah, blah, blah. That human rights agency operated in Iran, came out, and then they were like arrested by the Iranian government. That's why they're based out of the United States now.
Yeah.
And so they've been reporting there's another 12,000 or more that they're investigating. And that's as of, like, I think a few weeks ago when we checked.
Okay.
And so the numbers go up. People are saying there's a ton of Mossad agents that were in that, or the Mossad agents were the ones killing the people. But I think we have to remember, just like when we talk about October 7th, or we talk about anything with Israel and Palestine, we can't just talk about it in just a vacuum of that one day, right? Or just what happened in January. When I was a kid in 1999 is when I first saw the protests. I was living in Pittsburgh, and I was like, oh my God, there's protests in Iran that are like crazy. I was like conscious. I think I was probably in middle school or something like that. That was the first time I started seeing real uprisings in Iran. And so then you start seeing it more and more. And you could go back and look, and every single time there are protests in Iran, they come out, it looks like they got some momentum, and then the government kills one, two, maybe a few, maybe more, dozen people, and then they eventually go away. This happened in 99, 2009, the Green Movement. I remember sitting in law school, and a friend was like, hey, do you see what's going on? I was like, yeah, it'll probably last a couple of weeks. They'll kill people, and then they'll go away. So they've been killing their own civilians, their own constituents for decades.
Yeah.
And they have the highest execution rate in the world. We're trying to catch up. United States is always trying to catch up. But it is brutal. And I could get into...
They killed three protesters yesterday.
They executed them?
Yeah, why don't you say... I'm going to fuck these names up, so if you don't
Mehdi
mind.
Rasuli, Mohammad Rezamiri, and Ibrahim Dolatbadi.
Yeah, so they were killed fucking yesterday. These are people that were arrested back in January. They have been killing political prisoners every day since it has stopped.
Yeah.
So we don't even really know what's actually fucking happening over there.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on is now I'm going to play fucking armchair dictator here.
Sure.
I think that when these killings started, if you remember, Trump was telling them to go to the streets.
Yes.
He was telling them, go fight your regime. We're going to come save you. I think that it was our plan and Israel's plan to have these people killed. Because when they put in a new regime, eventually, they don't want these guys protesting that. And so they were happy to see them go. And this is my personal opinion. Mm. They were happy to see them go in order to completely take over and get all the oil down the road.
Interesting. So, I mean, you can look at a few things. First, I think let's just talk about why the protests even happened in the first place.
Yes.
And so in Iran, it's not just the, you know, the brutal kind of like social policies they have, but because of sanctions, they have a terrible economy. And that's not just because of sanctions. They've mismanaged their economy a lot as well.
But don't they have all the oil?
They have tons of oil.
How are they poor?
Well, they're poor because if you watch during this war, they got rocket launchers and missile launchers everywhere. They're like sweeping sand. It's underground. They're funding their proxies.
Are
Hezbollah.
They making those or are they buying those?
No, they're making them. They're making drones. Those drones, they have like 85,000 drones when this war started, and they all cost the cost of like a Honda Civic. No, yeah. No hate on the Honda Civic, but that's how much they're churning them out.
Yeah, no, we hate on the RAV4 around here.
Okay, good. Yeah, I can support that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can support.
Do you want to take it again?
No. So that's the thing. And then the mismanagement of their economy has led to, hold on, I have a prop. I brought a prop.
Oh, this is great. I love this.
Okay.
This is
for
the Netflix audience.
So, you know, and everyone I think knows, my father passed away in February.
Yes.
And then I was home and I was like going through his stuff and I was like looking for things that I wear his ring now. And I found an old briefcase with a bunch of Iranian money in it.
When people die, you can just take their shit.
Yeah,
I learned that from my buddy Mike Racine.
Listen, my dad didn't leave me much. I got his kebab skewers, this ring, and this money. This is Iranian rials.
Okay. Well, that's a lot.
It's a lot. Okay. Let me just, if your audio listeners,
this is how much it is. It's a bunch of money.
This is it. Thank you, champ. So this is 317,000 Iranian rials. Rob, Eddie, can you take a guess? I feel like I'm the mentalist.
Yeah.
Can you take a guess at how much this is in U.S. dollars?
Well, because you're making me guess, I'm going to imagine it's low. But I'm going to say $100.
Rob.
50.
24 cents.
Damn.
24 cents?
24 cents.
That's what that's
it's
all
1.3,
worth.
It might be 1.4 million rials to $1 right now.
So it was impossible to live in Iran.
Inflation, people call, oh, the eggs here at my Trader Joe's went up 30 cents. Yo, Tuesday in Iran, your eggs are like $8. The next day, they are $20. This is what's happening. So the people came to the streets. They're like, we're done. 50 to 75% inflation. They're like, you can kill us. You're already killing us.
We don't have a chance.
This is what brought people out onto the streets. And what happened was they were unified, both the people in the bazaars, the merchants, even some clergy were coming out in the streets, and then the students, right? Yeah. And they have a very
it
young
population.
It was beautiful
watching them like dance in the street, play music in the street, like the days before
the
massacre.
Because that's illegal.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why you even see at their funerals, they were dancing and at the funerals because that's illegal. So this is the form of protest that they're doing. Now, of course, Trump says, I'm coming to help you. And they're like, all right. Because, frankly, the Democrats have just sold out the Iranian people time and time again by doing deals that they don't like that are not helpful to the people of Iran.
Yeah.
Now, I say this as a guy from Pittsburgh that is an American first.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not, you know, you could say I'm America first, but at the same time, it's like Iran.
It's in your name, first generation.
Yeah, I'm here. This war should not have happened. It does not help. They were not a threat to the United States in any way. They were a threat to Israel and interest of Israel.
Yeah.
But they weren't a threat to the United States at all. And so we got convinced, when I say we, the Trump administration and Trump, got convinced that this was a good idea, that he could get in there and get out. But like every other American president, they mess up the military and the political objectives. The military guys come in like Hegseth and they say, we could get this done real fast.
Yeah. And you got to remember who exactly was killed in this massacre.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like any old Iranian. It was the people who were standing up the tallest. It was like all the biggest resistance fighters, because they were the ones on the front line. And so they're the ones. So basically the head was cut off of all these like great protesters, of all these great activists.
Well, even normal people were coming out in the street too. I mean, thousands of people. And there's like
the videos of the bodies is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Our buddy Saman Arbabi was posting some stuff that I mean, I'd never seen anything like that. I mean, we're talking like they did Gaza numbers in a couple days.
Oh yeah, it is like Rwandan genocide rate of murder.
Yeah. I think that, like, so every time that you get excited about a fucking Lego video, remember who these people are.
Well, there's going to be people, obviously I can feel it now, as the host of the 4 Report, I don't read the comments, but I can feel the comments coming in.
Whatever.
That it was fake, that the numbers are fake. But let me just, again, tell you this. If you want to support a regime, because, again, I understand you may hate Israel, you may hate the United States so much.
I hate Netanyahu, I hate Trump.
But
that's what I hate.
If you hate them, that's fine. God, you know what, sure.
Yeah.
Here, I'm just letting you know, the way the Iranians torture their prisoners would take your breath away, okay? And I'll be in side stories, so let me give you a couple.
Please.
I'm talking electrical wires beating your feet. I'm talking, they take you into a room with a bag over your head, with a bag over your head, you on a chair.
The first electric foot thing probably feels all right.
It's like a little tickle.
It's like when they put you on the rack. You know, it's like for the first 10 seconds.
Oh, this is nice. I should have done this years ago.
Sorry.
And then they take you into a room, and then they put you on chairs, and they put a noose around you. There's three people. And this happened to Ahmed Talabi, I think I messed up his name, but the guy that was on the cover of The Economist in the 2009 protest. They took him into a room, put a noose around his neck, and put a noose around necks of people next to him.
Yeah.
And then they kicked out the chairs of the people on either side of him. And they took out his bag over his head, and they said, look, this could be you. And they'd send him back.
Damn.
They put him in a room with daylight all day, so he couldn't understand what time of day it was, with a recording of his mother saying, please come home, please, please. So they forced these confessions for people to make.
Christ.
I mean, it is excruciating what people have gone through there. And again, there's a lot of people in the diaspora here that are just like, oh, man, I hate the Iranian government so much. But it's like, I get it, and they're terrible, but your trauma as an Iranian-American, as a person that's an immigrant from Iran that came here, is not the basis for American foreign policy. It is not the basis.
Right?
Yeah, my family's getting bombed, but I'm an American, and it is not the basis for American foreign policy to go into another country and also not even do a good job.
Yeah.
That when he said regime change, and he didn't change the regime at all, I think a lot of people in our community were hopefully awoken from the spell that they had.
But didn't he kill a bunch of the leaders and have all
killed
the leaders?
Killed them, but the regime's in place. When you have a hierarchical regime, right? When you have a terrorist regime or any regime that's very hierarchical, so Hezbollah, Hamas, the Islamic Republic, the IRGC, if you knock out a bunch of guys, even the top 10 rows of power, more come up because there's an organized structure. Here's a place where decapitation does work, TPUSA. Charlie Kirk got off, and I tell you what, there's no one going to those events anymore. And so when you have a figurehead leader that gets killed, right?
Yeah.
That is how things, that's the decapitation strategy. It fundamentally does not work if there's an actual organized military-like structure to your organization. And that's what's happened here. And they're finding out that the type of defense the IRGC was doing, where they were all spread out throughout the country and they all had their orders before the war started, so that when, you know, the supreme leader gets offed, they all were just firing their missiles. They knew what to do.
Yeah.
And so, well, great job, everybody. Great job. You went in there. You thought you were going to do it real quick, but you ruined. This is the worst case scenario for everyone involved, the people of Iran, people of the United States, the troops that are going in there, they're gonna be killed.
Iran is huge.
Huge.
I don't know if people really understand. It's one third the size of America.
Yes.
It is gigantic. Population and like land.
92 million, something like that.
Yeah, no, we're 385, something like that. Yeah. So it's like they are gigantic. And so now we're watching us and Israel go in there, blow up schools, do all this stuff, kill all those girls first hour of the war. They just killed a bunch of girls. So we're committing war crimes. They're committing war crimes.
Yeah.
Everyone's committing war crimes. And I feel like I've heard the word war crimes more times in my life in the past 2 years than the rest of my life put together. So if everyone's committing war crimes all the time, how do you enforce it? Who is the UN the one in charge? Like, what do we, who steps in?
No one.
Right?
No one, buddy. There's no one doing anything. When you don't...
Is it us? Are we the ones who are supposed to step in?
No, there's the international ICJ and then the ICC. The ICJ is like basically like your grand jury. They do the investigation. They recommend a thing. And then the ICC does the actual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They do the... But if you don't adhere to international law, if you're like, no, we're not going to do that, then like... It doesn't. What does it matter if you don't participate in, like, for example,
you would have to declare war against U.S. and Israel in order to stop them or arrest Netanyahu or Trump, right?
No, I mean, apparently you don't have to declare war either. We didn't declare war on Iran.
That's a good point.
We didn't do any of this. We don't have to declare anything anymore. people in power, Israel has nukes, we have nukes, Russia has nukes, North Korea has a lot of nukes.
Really?
Oh, my God. North Korea has nukes that could reach the United States now.
But they don't know how to shoot them.
Oh, they do. They're practicing.
Really?
But they have, like, I think, like 40 of them now.
Man, all this chaos, we've just forgot about them a little bit.
Oh, yeah, and they didn't forget about us. Pakistan, India, those are all countries that do whatever they want.
And Iran has no nukes.
They don't have a nuclear weapon. They have 60% enriched uranium. And the thing was that the argument was they're going to have a nuke. And, buddy, there's great clips online of BB saying since, like, 1995, Iran is 2 weeks away from having a nuclear weapon. The thing is, the old Supreme Leader, who, by the way, I'm glad the United States killed him, but you know what? He would have died from, like, a strong wind.
Yeah.
Okay? You gave him the martyr death. Okay, thank you. Great. That's like you gave him everything he wanted. That was the dumbest possible thing. He actually was not into having a nuclear weapon. He wanted to just use the idea of it as a deterrent because they could have sprinted to a nuke multiple times. And when they're not making fancy new nukes, they're making like Oppenheimer nukes.
Yeah.
So it's like
I mean, those work.
They do. Again, bombs work. Drop them, they explode. It's everything afterwards that the United States and Israel don't need to think about. And Israel has completely different goals when it comes to this thing. They're going to try to continue this war, and they're obviously clearly doing it in Lebanon right now. They're continuing this war. They do not want a peace process. They have completely different goals than the United States.
What is their end goal? Kill everybody and take the land?
Their end goal is what happened to basically, in my opinion, is what Syria was for a long time. A completely failed state, and they posed no threat to Israel, right? There couldn't be like really even a staging ground for other proxies to use. And so when that happens, if Iran's a failed state, then there's like not big, they can feel like comfortable. And then there's the other argument of like the greater Israel project where they want to just expand the borders of Israel for, you know, take your pick of whatever reason, which is why they've moved into Lebanon, which is why they're spreading out into the Golan Heights. It's why they've, you know, obviously everything in Gaza. Yeah.
And then they're doing crazy shit over there. Israel just last month was caught spraying white phosphorus all over Lebanon, which was destroying all the crops, obviously, and then like killing people as they try to get rid of it. It's, what is it, 800 degrees Fahrenheit, some shit like that. It's crazy.
It's the Dunia Doctrine, which is like this old thing they did in 2006 where they basically level an entire city or village. And they did this to this village or this town called Dunia. If I'm mispronouncing it. But basically the idea is, if you level it completely, I mean, civilian infrastructures and all, then your adversaries aren't able to stage a counterattack.
Yeah.
And so, great, militarily, but also war crime. Also, you're cutting off food, you're cutting off water, you're cutting off supplies. So this is what's like fundamentally wrong with to your original question of how do we adjudicate international order when we have actors out there, U.S., Israel, take your pick, even the Islamic Republic, you can take all the Hamas, Hezbollah, everyone's violating international laws. The thing about the Geneva Convention is it's about countries doing things to other people.
Yeah.
So non-state actors like Hamas, they're on a different kind of criminal thing, right?
They're
a criminal.
Because they're a terrorist group.
They're a group.
Not a government official.
Yeah, and you're going to have people in the comments say, they're a resistance movement. I get it. But the thing is,
they're not allowed to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
I say invite them.
They have a great badminton team. The Hamas badminton team is top notch.
Oh man, and it's crazy because like we're watching, and it's hard to see what's happening because so many journalists are getting killed. In 2025, Israel killed 84 journalists out of 129 that were killed worldwide.
Yeah,
so that's a big portion of it. And so if people are, what they're banking on is people just being scared to report on this stuff.
Yeah.
And not being able to, because not only are they doing that there in Gaza, but in Iran, they're shutting off the internet, they're shutting off the power, and people aren't able to get the word out.
It is so fundamentally, I think the biggest, and there's a lot of things to be upset about, but the thing that really upsets me, and this is very personal for me that
of
upsets
course.
Me, and like, I, you know, don't at me, but like, Israel and the United States have made the Islamic Republic regime likable, and I will never forgive anyone involved for doing that. I've spent decades trying to tell people how brutal these people are, how they kill people, how they've, you know, the brain drain that's happened. They get educated and then the people leave. Like, it's destroyed the place where I want to take my kids to one day.
Yeah.
But no, we're so bad here that we make the other people look cool.
It's crazy. And they're the worst I've ever seen.
It's just, it's blowing my mind over here.
It's hard. And I hate talking about this stuff because, you know.
I love doing it every week on Last Podcast Network.
Yeah. You know, personal, on the, like, because you're talking on a personal level. A personal level for me is I don't like saying anti-Israel stuff because half my family's Jewish. A lot of my best friends are Jewish. And anti-Semitism is very real.
And that's the other thing. The anti-Semitism is insane right now.
Yeah. And so it's like, and like my goddaughter, her school had a fucking bomb threat. She's five.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are we fucking doing? And so I get scared about talking about this shit because I don't want people to just blindly attack Jews because that's what fucking happens historically. But it's like, well, what then? What am I supposed to turn a blind eye to what's happening?
Well, I grew up going to Seders and Passovers of my best friends growing up. And to me, this whole war puts them in an unsafe position.
Yeah.
And this is just disgusting at the end of the day. And so I'm worried about them. And frankly, a lot of my Jewish friends don't have a relationship with Israel. Because, again, they talk about the kingdom of Israel, right? But it's a nation state. We're talking about countries. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, like, the Bible wasn't just like, you know, like the country of Israel.
Yeah.
It was like a kingdom. So you want to go back to that? I mean, do we just, is the Bible or the Torah like everybody's Zillow now? That you could just go and just be like, this is actually mine?
Whenever people talk about the Bible or the Torah or any of that shit, I'm like, oh, so your argument is nonsense?
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
Persian Empire was when Egypt to India. If we want to go back in time, we can go back in time to those days. Everyone was happy. Religious freedom. We had a great system of roadways, a postal service. It was very nice.
And checks were in bikinis and shit,
baby.
In the 60s in Iran. It was fucking awesome, and they're hot. They took that from us. These beautiful women. They're so gorgeous. But
yeah.
You're my Prince of Persia.
Now,
I thank you for talking about this with me. I've taken so much shit for never even bringing this shit up on the show. It's just like, I don't feel like Henry and I have any right talking about pontificating on all of this stuff. You know, it's crazy. You know, but like when the death toll reaches this number, we have to.
Yeah.
I want to fart and cum joke my way through life, but I'm bound to talk about death.
It is, I think just to like put a pin or a bow or a cherry or a bomb on top of it, it is, you can be against this war and understand the complexity of it. And we talk about this on the Foreign Report all the time. Hold the complexity of this in your heart and in your head that the Islamic Republic is a brutal regime that kills its own people. And the United States and Israel are being brutal, brutal actors in this war that never needed to happen. A war of choice. Innocent people are being killed. And the fact that this president has the audacity to go out and say we did regime change is nothing more than the biggest betrayal to the Iranian people you could ever imagine. And at the end of the day, I'm a kid that grew up in Pittsburgh, and this helps zero people in Pittsburgh, although it cost me $70 to pump gas in my car today, and I even went to Costco.
Wow. God damn it. Costco, you're supposed to have
it. It is supposed to be cheaper, but I'm like, what? This is, you know? Anyways.
Well.
Thanks for letting me do this.
No, I appreciate you. Because I don't feel right talking about it without someone who's like directly involved.
Yeah.
I want to talk about another massacre. It's just upsetting. A little cuter, though.
Yeah, a little cuter.
All right. So, All right. Here we go. People are going to hate this. All right. In Orlando, the death toll keeps rising from Sloth World.
Oh, God. I saw this.
Yes. A second sloth has died after a transfer from planned attraction. The number is up to 31 now.
Oh, my God.
So 31. So Sloth World.
We have a sloth genocide that just happened?
Yes. They were sold into slavery, and then they were genocided. Can we play that news clip that I sent you?
Sure.
The Instagram one?
Sure.
It sums it up perfectly.
This is so sad.
This is very sad. So basically, Sloth World was a tourist attraction in Orlando that was set to open in April, and they built this giant atrium that was temperature controlled, and it mimicked Guyana and Peru, and so it had been perfect for sloths. You can go, you hang out with the sloths. Sounds wonderful, right? I want to go to Sloth World. I love sloths.
Are they friendly?
Yes, they love humans.
But they have the claws.
They got the claws, but you can kiss them.
They're so slow.
I don't know.
No, you'll get scratched and shit.
I don't want to get scratched.
I want to get scratched. I want to get scratched by a sloth. But I want to do it in Peru. I don't want to do it in Orlando because what happened was, forget the report.
I got it right here.
You got it? Yeah, All right. Let's play it for Cena.
This new attraction that isn't even open yet in Orlando on International Drive is at the center of a disturbing discovery. At least 31 sloths are now dead. This is that report from FWC. In it, they say 21 of these sloths came from Guyana, 10 from Peru. The 21 were inside of this warehouse on a cold December night, according to investigators. And the building had no electricity. It had no heat. There was no supervision overnight. And investigators say ultimately those 21 sloths died from cold stun. When it comes to the other 10 from Peru, two of them, according to FWC, were dead by the time they got to Florida. The other 8 passed away from some sort of illness, though it's not confirmed what illness they may have suffered from. One family from Brevard County told me they spent $300 getting tickets for their 11-year-old son who loves sloths. He was so excited to come here to Sloth World. Now, they just want their money back.
All right. Well, I don't care about the kid.
Yeah.
It's zero bucks about that kid.
Well, I think it's important because, like, you know, I, as a Disney fan, it's like, I feel like there's like a weird, because obviously sloths' popularity fucking went through the roof after Zootopia because that character was so funny and lovable. Everyone wanted, and this is what happens time and time again. After Finding Nemo, those fucking clownfish almost went extinct. When I went and saw Finding Dory in the theater, there was a PSA beforehand. It's like, don't buy this fish.
Oh my God.
We almost killed all of the other fish. Everybody wants it after they see the movie. And this is what happens. Just because something's cute and something wonderful doesn't mean that you should have it in Orlando, that you should have, that it should be a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
You should be able, if you want to see a sloth, go to fucking Guyana. Go to a real zoo. Not this goddamn like random shit on International Drive.
The parents buy the kit for the kids?
What do you mean?
Like the fish? Like,
you know,
the kids
you're talking about the Finding Nemo stuff.
Or this stuff?
Yeah.
I feel like this is a Gen X problem.
This is definitely, I mean, well, this is shit that used to go undetected.
Yeah.
I remember like going to like, what was that town next to Gatlinburg? Pigeon Forge. I remember going to Pigeon Forge when I was a kid. And there were no rules back then. There was like, I went to a t-shirt shop that had a bunch of bears in the back. They're like, give us $5 and we'll give you apples to throw at the bears. So like, it's like literally what used to be. And so we evolved past it. And now we're fucking backtracking again because there's taking away all these restrictions.
Yeah.
And now we see guys like open in the fucking sloth world need to be, this guy, a criminal investigation has opened. Good news is Sloth World, as of last week, is officially not opening. It was going to open, but now they took it away. And all the sloths were transferred to the Central Florida Zoo, which is a good thing. But they're still dying because they were diseased. They're a tropical climate animal, and they put them in Florida, which is a tropical climate, but when the temperature from global warming goes down into the 40s and they can't handle it, they immediately fucking die because it's got to be at least in the 80s, and these fucking assholes, just because you want to kiss a sloth, you think I don't want to kiss a sloth?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, it's so fucking aggravating, and so I hope these motherfuckers get locked up.
What?
Because they are fucking, the Peter Bondre and Ben Agresta were the guys who wanted to start Sloth World with probably the best of intentions.
Sure. Sloths are great. Let's do it.
But your fucking capitalism murdered these goddamn beautiful creatures, and you can go fucking go to hell. I really hope that they lock them up. Because Florida, you know, say what you want about DeSantis, they started like an animal abuse registry. And so hopefully this would be like some of the first dudes who go on that shit, and their permanent record is is fucking destroyed.
It's going to be interesting when they try to sell the real estate there. We have a wide open space. It's an atrium. There were some animals here before, but they're not anymore. They moved on to another place.
The slowest ghost.
This is a discount.
In the world. All right. One last story, Sina. I wanted to talk about fraudsters. Go listen to Fraudsters. You just had that amazing expose you did on the War of Drugs.
Yeah.
How many episodes was that?
Oh, I think over 20.
Over 20.
Don't worry. Yeah. We're going to come back next month. When is this? This is coming out in a couple weeks. In June, we're going to come out with new episodes. We got a new season. I'm so excited. It's been a while. I was traumatized from doing that season.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. But I found a fraudster story that I really wanted you to get your opinion on. All right. This comes out of USA Today. Chick-fil-A employee makes $80,000 in mac and cheese refund scheme. The employee of a Chick-fil-A in the Dallas suburb of Grapevine, Keyshawn Jones, 23, was arrested on April 17th and charged with property theft, money laundering, and evading arrest. Also, I gotta say, dude, all right, so they have him on footage, like, working and then doing all these things. It showed Jones using the register to ring up 800 orders of mac and cheese trays before refunding them to his personal credit card.
It's incredible. You know, so let me channel my inner Ariel here and just say, I love this man. Give this man a gold medal. Protect this man at all costs. He is an inspiration.
It's one of those things where it's like, I should be mad at him, but
why?
But like, fuck Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, it's tasty.
It's very tasty.
But fuck them anyway. And like, it's like, yeah. I wish you would have got away with it, but you know that if he did, I didn't have a.
We don't really cover the little guy taking one over.
Yeah,
on
no, you
Chick-fil-A.
Go for the big guys.
We go for the big guy going down. But like this guy, I mean, it's an incredible, incredible story.
Oh yeah, yeah. So Jones is in custody.
He could have done a fraction of that and gotten away with it. I don't know why he went for the 80.
His bail is $110,000.
Well,
that's the thing. When these guys get greedy, that's when you get caught.
Well,
if you would have done $8 over and over and over again, you would have never got caught.
That, or he should have done $8 million. And if you had done $8 million, they'd be like, this guy's a great businessman.
Yeah, yeah. $8 million straight to the fucking airport.
Did it 800 times.
Yeah.
God, yeah.
800 times?
It says he did 800 trays of macaroni.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's a lot of macaroni.
I mean...
So I'm going to be in Pittsburgh at the end of the month. Hopefully, I'm going to try and take your mother out for lunch. It's not an insult.
Nasty man.
where should I eat in Pittsburgh? What's a good place for me to eat?
You should go to Permanis. Have you been to Permanis yet?
I'm with it. Put the fries on the sandwiches. Yeah. I went with you.
Oh, yeah, we did.
You did. Yeah. What else is there? I don't think I want to. So it's May 29th.
Yeah, you eat clean now.
I clean-ish. Because even the salads are Permanis. They put fries on the salads.
The fries are, the salads
is
not
like
healthy.
Is it just white people?
No, it depends on which one you go to. They have suburban ones that are very white, but if you go to down to the Strip District, it's very diverse.
I'm not talking about Permanis anymore. Like, do you have good Thai food? That's what I'm trying to figure out here. Like, is there a good Persian restaurant I should hit up?
I don't think so. I mean, when I go back to Pittsburgh, I eat Permanis like 80%
All right,
of the time.
Permanis. Warm up the fryers. Henry and I are coming in. That's it. That's all I needed. Sina now on Instagram. Go listen to Fraudsters. And, of course, the Foreign Report with our buddy Travis Irvine. I love you, Sina. Thank you
too,
for
man.
Coming in here.
Thank you.
You're the fucking man. I'll see you soon. I'll see you almost every day.
Anyway. Every
day. Yeah. All right, guys. Coming up next, I'm bringing in my buddy Amber Nelson to talk about some fucked up shit. I hope you guys stay tuned.
Live from your grave.
All right. I am now being joined by my comedy partner of 15 odd years on the brighter side, the wonderful, the beautiful, the hilarious Amber Nelson. How you doing?
Hi, I'm so great. It's interesting that you said 15 years because I was looking at things to do and there's this early 2000s dance party and I was like, click, I'll go for free before 11 p.m. And then I look at the club, you know, because you can see it on Instagram and I was like, oh, the people going to this club were born in the 2000s. They weren't dancing to this in the 2000s. I'm going to be the creepy lady.
No, it's like when we used to go to 80s parties.
Yes.
Isn't that sad?
Ugh. I don't like it.
It is so good to see you. I love you. We are on HGX2. We are here to promote. Watch that. It is on youtube.com/@LPNTV every Thursday at 7 p.m. Watch HGX2, Amber and I's futuristic game show where positivity is legal for 1 hour. It takes place in the future of the year 2027. Give it a watch. It's so much fun. You won't regret it. It is true. Murder Fist. You were in Murder Fist for a while.
Yeah.
It is like the return to death and stupidity that
it's,
I miss.
Yeah, it's chaos, but it's controlled in a game. In a game format. I'm the queen of pain, my favorite role I've ever played. And speaking of pain, I was telling you that guy I saw die.
So what is this? So,
I thought I told you this. This is like the gnarliest thing I've ever seen.
I feel like I would remember. But go ahead. So you watched someone die?
So I'm walking from the grocery store. I live in Hollywood, California, and I can walk everywhere, so which I do. Mm-hmm. And I see some guy standing up and on the phone, and I see some guy laying down and a lot of blood around his head. And
I was like,
oh my God. So I'm like walking up and I'm like, do I have water? And it's like, no, I only have wine and beer because I'm about to throw a party. I can't give this dying man beer. I mean, maybe. He might like that, actually. And so he's like blood pooled around and this guy's on the phone. He's like on hold with 911. And this guy sits up and he's like the back of his head is just like black and like because blood is kind of blackish.
Yeah,
just kind of folds it and it like moves.
Oh God.
I think he like did that on the ground.
No. Oh Jesus Christ.
And then like the front of his nose was busted. So I think when he did that, it like caused a shockwave, whatever. And then so he sits up and then does this and the guy's like, are you okay, sir? And he's like, fuck you. And then just like lays back down on the ground with his eyes open. I was like, I think that I just saw a man's dying words.
Yeah, you might have.
Because you can't live. Your brain was, he was just like doing this with his head.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I saw something like that once in New York.
What was it?
It was at, it was when I was working at the cheesesteak restaurant, 99 miles to Philly. And then we were next to that horrible bar, Bar None. Do you remember that place? They used to have a mic in there every Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare zone. It was underage girls on tap. You know, it was really bad.
I mean, it's called Bar None.
Yeah,
it's just
like
no expectations here.
Yeah, and so there was a big fight that came out of there, and there was like a bunch of dudes jumped this guy, and then they knocked him down, and he cracked his head open on the sidewalk right in front of my restaurant. And so like their fight like became my problem, and then I was just like, as soon as I was like, I'm not jumping in because like I was like, stop it, but I'm not getting my ass kicked. I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
and then finally when the guy cried, I finally was like, get out of here! You're calling the cops. I'm like literally held up the phone. Like, cops are called, you better leave. And then I don't know, I think he might have lived. I cleaned up the blood.
What did he look like?
It was there were a bunch of white boys. Bunch of frat boys.
But like his face, was it all like beaten in or something?
No. He cracked the back of his head open when he got knocked over on the sidewalk and blood was like pouring out of his head.
That'll do it.
Yeah, and he stood up really fast and like got up and like he was like in charge. And I was like, yo, bro, you need to sit
down.
That's
adrenaline kicking in.
Yeah. And then I made him just sit on my front stoop of the restaurant until the cops came and the ambulance came and they took him away. And I don't know. Could be alive. Could be dead.
Oh, well. Well, it's nice to be here on the show. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. I remember that. Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Because it was at the party.
We were at a party because Amber was on Hacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a party and we watched Amber's appearance on Hacks episode 4.
Yes.
The jail. The appropriate jail.
It was so a good scene for me. I was in there because I had a DUI. Don't drink and drive.
That's right.
And I got to play like a creepy little weird lady.
Yeah. If Amber ever gets a DUI, it'll be while she's walking.
That's when you're really fucked up. WUI? Walking while intoxicated? WWI.
www@DUI.com. You are a part of not just The Brighter Side, but another great show here on the Last Podcast Network, Someplace Underneath, with the wonderful Natalie Jean, Henry's wife. It's a great show about missing women, very upsetting, but you're doing a job that needs to be done. And you recently had a whole YouTube series just about Epstein and the Epstein files. And,
and
the first person you covered was Ghislaine Maxwell. And so I figured that who better than to do this week's update with than the wonderful Amber Nelson. Thank you.
It's an island adventure.
It's an island adventure.
Heck yeah. It's Jeffrey time.
Oh, we got to keep it light or else we'll fuck you. Got to keep it light. You know, whenever women like go through a horrible breakup, I'm like, it's time for your villain era. But I'm like, oh, she's been in her villain era. Like they hate you.
Yes.
Tell it. Spill the beans.
Do it. I'm with you.
Why is she still like holding back and be like, I have one extra name. I don't know.
Well, because she's waiting to get released. You know, she's got a million names. She's got everything. No, you can't trust. The thing with Ghislaine is that's part of the new news is she's like, I got one more name. I'm going to drop it and they're going to let me out. It's like, then do it already.
Then do it.
What are we fucking doing
here? I'm sick of all these people being like, I have a name and I'm not going to tell you until you give me this. I'm like, you would just say it if you had. Give me the fucking name.
Yeah, if you're holding on to it, you are culpable. You're part of this
now. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Line them up and shoot them in the head.
Fuck you. So there is a little new, we're not on island time today. We're going to desert time because Zorro Ranch, back in the news, it was just discovered that it was actually built by a military contractor. Back in the day in 1993, he's the guy who built the company is a Bradbury Stam Construction. They built such classified facilities as Los Alamos National Laboratory and the Kirtland Air Force Base. So they are the ones who built this 10,000 acre property and the mansion and everything that's on it. It is crazy. Zorro Ranch, we've talked about a little bit on the show, but it is crazy. It used to be called the Playboy Ranch, which fucking... gross.
Yeah, Playboy's in the desert. Someone's going to die.
Yeah, absolutely.
Playboy's on the beach is like, we're going to get in our bikinis. Maybe someone's going to OD. But like in the desert, your body's going underground.
Yeah, there was in the drop, there was so much disturbing info on Zorro Ranch. And now it is starting to come out more and more ever since we found out what's happening. The January 30th Epstein file drop contained a lot of disturbing info on Zorro Ranch. And is now the scrutiny has intensified. One major bombshell from the drop was an email that had been sent to New Mexico radio host Eddie Aragon, who spent a lot of time reporting on Epstein in November of 2019, 3 months after Epstein died. The email was sent by Redacted, shocking, and contained info that is said to be provided by a former staff member at Zorro. One of the pieces of the info was the bodies of two foreign girls were buried out in the hills behind the ranch after both girls had died of strangulation during rough fetish sex.
Can you imagine just going there and like needing a job? Like, I just want to fold clothes, clean the pool.
Also, I imagine when you show up, it's this beautiful, sprawling ranch. You think you made it.
I made it.
You know, you think this is the big time.
Sweet tea on tap.
Oh, God.
And then it's just like, you don't go in that room.
Yeah.
You just hear screams.
Because there was. It was lots of big rooms. There was an incinerator barn. Who even knows what they were doing? They had these three computer rooms. Each computer room was the size of a house. He was doing all kinds of crazy, evil shit we don't even really know about down there. What have you heard about Zorro Ranch? In your studies with Natalie.
I know there's a guy that bought it and he looks like Beavis and Butthead if they were a marionette. Like the guy that bought it, look at his picture. He looks like a wooden marionette of Butthead.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, he recently, but he is
Don Huffins.
Yeah, he is actually saying that, like, go look. Go check out the ranch. He's giving the ranch over, basically. So he's saying, go investigate, dig up whatever you want, try to find what you can. So he may not be a good guy because he is a billionaire, but he is helping people check out the property.
Okay. They were conducting, they were trying to find the perfect human. So they were getting little girls that they thought were perfect and then breeding them and then taking the babies away.
I don't think we'll ever really know how evil the shit that was actually happening in places like this.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to build a perfect human. He was doing genetic experiments, which makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, because this is the most flawed, evil person making the most perfect person.
Yeah. He bought the ranch in 1993 from New Mexico Democratic Governor Bruce King, and then he hired a construction company to build the mansion, and that company was the Bradbury Stam Company. They also built the Los Alamos and Kirtland Air Force Bases, as we said, and that particular choice of construction company company is suspicious enough on its own, but once you add Beverly Stan's connections to Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert, it raises eyebrows even more. Robert Maxwell, as you remember, he was a Mossad spy for Israel. One of the companies that he was able to penetrate in the mid-80s using spy software was, you guessed it, Bradbury Stam. Now, this could be a coincidence and nothing more, but it seems like one of those where there's smoke, there's fire type of deals. Smoke that's probably coming from the top secret barn incinerator. Yeah.
Do you think it's like, if you're incinerated, is it like a slow death or is it like a quick?
Well, you're dead before they put you in there usually.
Really?
Yeah, usually you were accidentally killed during sex, and then they're like, oh, yeah, you throw her in the incinerator.
Oh, and it just like, and then you just ash immediately? Ash.
Well, yeah, it's like what they have in funeral homes, kind of. You know, it just like, it goes up to like 2,000 degrees and it fucking burns your body. I'm not a, I'm a mortuary worker.
I've seen the scene from Scrooged where he's like burning and he's still alive.
Is incinerator.
Like, yes, is it like that?
Yes, but not as nice, probably. That was a very nice one. It was beautiful with the big room. I was, Scrooged is, you know, that was spared no expense on the set.
I wish three ghosts visited Epstein. Would that be great?
I always thought about that. Every Christmas, I hope that for Trump. But yeah, so there's going to be a lot.
He doesn't
have
any friends to come visit him.
So we need to start looking into the Bradbury Stam Construction Company a little deeper, as they are the ones who helped him modify this home facility. I don't know how to really put it, but yeah.
Imagine the bunkers, though. Like, if we turn to shit, like if the nuclear bomb drops, you probably want to go there and then go underground.
I mean, I'm sure it's fine over there. Or you go to the wonderful Lockheed Martin in right outside of Denver. All right, so that's going on. And then the other one is the only reason I really wanted to bring this up, son of a diplomat, of a Norwegian diplomat, who's 25 years old, unfortunately killed himself yesterday, committed suicide. He was the son of two high-profile Norwegian diplomats. The reason I want to bring it up, his name's Edward Larsen. And that just kind of, like, reading
Sorry
the article, fuck, they messed with me. I was just like, so this guy, this kid, I mean, I'm essentially a kid, 25 years old. His parents, they were very close to Epstein. And then in Epstein's will, he put, this kid gets $5 million. So this kid got money from Epstein, couldn't deal with it, and I'm guessing is part of the reason he committed suicide.
Do you think he was one of the little boys that were abused on the Zora Ranch? Because there were also little boys abused on the ranch.
I'm sure of it. But it doesn't seem like he was a victim of sex trafficking through Epstein, but Epstein did like help him get into better schools and stuff like that. Because,
hell of a resume letter.
Yeah. So unlike other powerful people who maintained enough plausible deniability to say, I was only the guy a couple times in a picture, you know, this is not what's going on. His parents were Terjay Rod Larsen and Mona Jewell. The Epstein file drop in January connects the three of them very closely. Not only does one email have Terjay telling Epstein how much he loved the island, he's also quoted within the files describing Epstein as a thoroughly good human being and my best friend.
So they went to Zorro Ranch and they were like, it's fine.
They were everywhere. They were just friends with them. So they were in New York. They knew him in the island. They were all over. They're even saying that they were probably involved in the trafficking. In addition to being close personal friends with Epstein, it's possible that Terjay was also assisting in the trafficking. In 2019, Norwegian authorities notified the FBI to tell them that Terjay's think tank, the International Peace Institute, had been doing something very peculiar. Despite having extensive Norwegian state funding, the institute allegedly brought in young and unqualified women from Eastern Europe on a very short visas and shared their pictures with Epstein. That's weird, right? Norwegian authorities thought so. The FBI, of course, didn't care to investigate because why would they?
It's the peace organization. Why would they? They're peaceful.
And that's Terjay. That's his dad. His mom, Mona Jewell. To summarize her, I'll say her Wikipedia has the following subsections. Controversies as state secretary, controversies in second in command, controversies as ambassador, and of course, association with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, so basically, They got a bunch of money when he died because they got a bunch of secrets. They were in bed with him. This kid inherited $5 million from the death of Epstein and obviously couldn't handle it, and he committed suicide. We don't know much about the reason for the suicide.
That's sad.
But the lawyers for Turgay and Mona released a statement blaming the pressure caused by the reckless way in which the media speculated about the Epstein involvement.
Oh,
which
fuck you. It's not the media. It's his own stupid fucking parents.
That's right, because they're trying to deflect.
No, fuck these people. Because they're friends with Epstein, of course they're deflecting, because they're bad people.
Yeah, because they were obviously involved in the whole bullshit.
They had to. How do you get a Zora Ranch and be like, it's fine. That's like walking into like a school shooting to just investigate the school and be like, it's nice in here. Why is it? It's so nice. Look at everybody. It's just studying. They're studying underneath the cafeteria tables. It's so, like, you know what's going on.
Yeah. So hopefully Norway will do what some of these other countries are doing and fucking lock these people up. Turgay and Mona, I fucking hope you're done. You look what you did to your family.
Your
look what
son.
You did to your son. I mean, it is disgraceful. You guys fucking suck. You're gonna go down. Everyone's going down in this bullshit. It's just a matter of time.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Because it. Never mind.
I what was going to say
something woo woo.
I like, want to hear woo woo.
Yeah? Because it was going to redact everything of my whole persona. But apparently, astrology wise, like we're in the era of like things being revealed.
Uh-huh.
And I always thought it meant, for example, like when Obama was in office and he got the white hair, I was always like, they know something. And I bet it's aliens. But now, or like they know something and everybody's a pedophile.
Yeah.
And that's why his hair went white.
Man, you know what the thing is? Like Biden could have easily investigated this ranch too, you know, and all this shit. And so fuck everybody is kind of where I'm at. But here's a funner story. Let's move on. Let's get past that of Epstein. But let's talk about some millionaires that need to be taken down.
Okay. And how are we going to take them down?
By
hypothetically.
By elephant.
Yeah.
Ernie Dosio, 75 years old, was trampled to death by elephants in Gabon. Why am I cheering? Because he is a big game hunter. That's right. He was out there in Gabon. He's from California. He's a vineyard owner of the Pacific Argolands LLC. They make wine all over. This is the guy. Look
at him.
You
were just in Santa Barbara. I wonder if you had some of his wine.
I wonder if I did. I was trying to figure out which wines exactly are his wines because I wanted to make sure I didn't buy it, but you know.
That's okay. I like to go and be like, who is your cruelest master?
Yes.
Let me sip that wine.
But Ernie, he's killed elephants, lions, rhinos, buffalo. He's got a huge trophy room in his house. It's fucking disgusting. He like literally travels the world to murder rare animals. He was on safari to kill the nearly endangered yellow-backed dookier. Look, can we see the dookier? Look at this guy. He's so cute.
Now, some people argue, they say, well, they do big game hunting because of the funds that go to the park. Hey, I don't know. How about you fund the park and then leave the animals alone?
Yeah.
Why is it like, I'll give you money if I can kill one of your finest?
Yeah, the animals hunt themselves. Just take a corpse and fucking stuff it and put that in your house.
Steve Irwin it or something.
Yeah, no, it is crazy. This thing's so cute. They're out there trying to kill him because he needed to fucking add it to the list of animals that he's fucking killed. But Ernie was trampled on safari and Amber, if it's okay, there's footage of him.
I want to see.
Getting trampled by elephants.
I want to see the trample.
All right, let's show it.
In the South, because I'm from Louisiana, and there's a lot of people, they have the trophies. Oh.
Yeah, no, that's an old man just getting tossed around by an elephant.
Ragdoll.
Oh!
Sorry.
Oh, man, it is bad to laugh at death, but fuck this motherfucker.
Maybe you should have killed all those animals, sir.
Yeah, dude. That's the thing. You went out there looking for a fight.
You knew.
You flew across an ocean and picked a fight with nature and you fucking lost.
And you had a gun.
Yeah, you had a gun and you've been fighting nature for how many decades? This is such beautiful comeuppance. I can't even tell you how sweet this shit is to me.
Look at the tour guide's face.
They're like, run. Elephants are really smart. Wasn't there a woman that like wronged an elephant and then an elephant found her grave site?
We talked about it. I had a whole episode about elephants. We talked about it. It was more of a wrong place, wrong time scenario. She was at a watering hole. And usually if you're close to a watering hole, animals get very territorial. And so the elephant killed her at the watering hole. And then she had her funeral. And then the elephant came back and destroyed her body at the funeral because it hated her. And so that's those are rogue elephants. They call them bin Ladens. There's a whole episode about it.
Oh, interesting. But see, our aura is so pure that if we went by the watering hole, it'd be like, oh, I love you.
I want to kiss someone.
Because don't they look at humans as like we're like we look at little puppies?
I think so. I mean, as long as we're not trying to kill them. This one obviously didn't look at them like it was a
look
puppy.
At you. Fuck you.
Yeah, no, this is on repeat, man. This is wild.
Just letting it go.
Yeah, just let
it go.
Yeah.
People will decorate their homes with these animals, and I've been in the homes, and it just feels like I'm like in the saddest graveyard.
Yeah, the elephant should get this guy's head to put on his fucking wall.
Kick around the skull. Fuck you.
I don't know, like, what happens to a person where you get so much money that you're just like, I want to go kill beauty. Like, it's like, why is it legal? Why? It doesn't make any sense. I understand that they're trying to raise money and all that stuff, but fuck that
it's
shit.
It's like killing beauty, hurting children. It's just like they find the most precious, innocent thing, and like, how can I hurt it?
Yeah, and it's just like, not to like toot my own horn, but like ever since I started making more money, I've never donated more. I've never like done all these things. Like I just want to help people. What the fuck is wrong with all these goddamn people?
See, I donate to the Making Children More Hungry Foundation.
Well, that's how you sell more pizza.
We gotta sell more pizza.
But before we wrap this up, I wanted to just tell you I got a new hat.
I like it.
And it's the Lehigh Valley Squonk. And I wanted to tell you about the squonk because I've learned a lot since joining last podcast these last couple of years. And this is a squonk. And he's my favorite cryptid.
Hey, why is it sad?
It's a sad. That's why I like him because he's sad. The squonk lives in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania. And it inhabits the forest. And basically, back in the day, loggers would hear weird noises. They didn't know how to explain it. And so they came up with this creature who's a big, fat, loose-skinned, sad creature that just cries in the forest.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a grub that, like, the Kun Matata guys ate.
Yeah, but it's huge. It's a mammal, I'd say, if it was real. But, yeah, it just sits and cries in the forest, and it's just sad, and it's just, poor squonk, and it shoots out little dumb, gooey shit out of its butt.
Is it sad because the forest industry's taking everything down?
I think so. I think it's losing its trees and it doesn't like it.
Squonk.
Yeah, so I got my new squonk hat because the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs are changing their name. They're a AAA baseball team to the squonk for one game. And everyone knew that I love the squonk. And so they told me I had to buy this hat and then I fell for it and I did it. And I just wanted you to know about the squonk because he's so cute and he's got little fat rolls just like me.
Aww.
And I love him so much.
Can I pet him?
You can pet the squonk. It's our squonk. That's for the whole. When is the squonk festival again? Let's give these guys a shout out. Let's look that up. Yeah, there's a whole festival dedicated to the squonk out in the Lehigh Valley.
What's the food there?
Squonkapalooza.
Squonkapalooza. Cheesesteaks. Philly cheesesteaks.
Really? Yeah, let's look at the menu here.
Yeah, August 1st, 2026. Oh my God, I'm going to be in the Lehigh Valley like 2 weeks before that? I'm missing Squonkapalooza?
Damn.
Oh, yeah, because I'm going to be in Bethlehem on July 10th. So go see that show out there and bring your squonk memorabilia. Anyone who went to Squonk Fest is a friend of mine. Squonkapalooza, we love you over here at the Last Podcast on the Left. Amber, thank you so much for stopping by the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're one of the funniest people I've ever met. You're doing such great things. I love everything. HGX2 every Thursday, 7 p.m. YouTube.com/@LPNTV. It's right after Last Stream on the Left. Come check us out. It's honestly one of my favorite things that we've ever done together. And I think people are going to love it. So make sure you're tuning in. All kinds of great guest stars. Henry, Marcus, Julie. Also, The Brighter Side is now available to watch on YouTube. You go to youtube.com/@thebrightersidelpn. Go subscribe. Check us out. We're there, and it's me and Amber 1 week, and then the next week, it's Amber with Ashley Brooke Roberts and the wonderful, beautiful, perfect, unbelievably sculpted bodied Julie Rosing.
It's his wife.
It's my wife.
She's currently on a long hike right now.
Yeah, she's in Catalina. Hopefully she comes back to me. She's walking across Catalina like she's got, I don't know what she's trying
to
prove.
I had no idea. She was like, yeah, I'm at Catalina Island hiking 60 miles.
Yeah, there's Buffalo, 34, but you know, who's counting?
You can't.
I know, I got her location. I'm fucking watching every step of the way. But yeah, so June 7th, me and Julie are actually, we're going to be in Phoenix at the Desert Ridge Improv. Come see us there. It's going to be the three of us doing some stand-up, having a great time. And then every Friday in Silver Lake at the Clubhouse out here in Los Angeles, go to Slammer's Comedy Jam. That's 7 p.m. It's a free show every week. Go and check it out. It's so much fun. I did it last week. We had a blast. And then, of course, Someplace Underneath here on the Last Podcast Network with Natalie Jean. It's all in-house, baby.
It's all in-house. It's wonderful. Yeah, let us know if there's stuff we can do in Phoenix. And let us know if something I can do in... I might go to San Diego.
Yeah, I love San Diego.
Maybe. When is this coming out?
It's coming out next week.
Yeah, I'll be there like in a week.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll be there when this comes out.
Oh, fuck.
Well, no, it's still... It comes out on a Wednesday.
Write to me. Yeah, because I'll be... Well, yeah, write to me. Let me know where I should go to go hang out.
Yeah, the Lafayette. You can go to the zoo, check out the pandas. Panda ladies, I'm coming to San Diego. I want to come hang out with the pandas. I know you listen. Go, hit me up. I love everybody. At the end of the show, we like to hail Satan and hail something wonderful. I'm going to hail the squonk. What would you like to hail?
Hail something wonderful?
Yeah, something you like. Something that makes it...
Some soup the other day. Hail soup?
You can hail soup.
Can we hail soup?
Hail soup.
Thank you.
Hail soup, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye.